Accession number 18614, Reel 6.
Well, the sergeant in, I was doing a job. I said I didn't think it was right that I should be doing this job. He said, no, neither do I.
Jack Holness, Reel 6.
I had taken over the quartermaster's job because of the amount of work I was doing and teaching a sergeant how to be a quartermaster virtually. I was taken into the CO and I was promoted. Very unusual. Not to a lance corporal, but to a full or substantiated corporal and given the pay. Not long after that, when the sergeant got used to the QM's duties, the CO sent for me and asked me if I would take over as the officer's mess corporal, which I did, always being willing to try something new. I did that. Most of this time I was just one-armed, right arm still being in plaster, for 11 months actually. Then eventually came out of plaster, and sometime after, and I forget just what it must have been, early 1943, I was sent to a personnel selection board because of being downgraded and not being any use for frontline action. The personnel selection board, it seemed a silly place to me at the time. There were all sorts of soldiers there trying to stick square pegs into round holes. There were half of them anxiety neurosis cases or otherwise bomb happy. They gave me round pegs to put in square holes, vice versa. Stupid. Someone came to me and said, what job are you doing at the moment? I said, I'm working in the quartermasters and in the officer's mess and doing pay duties, etc., equipment. Oh, well, you'd better do the clerical test. I did the clerical test, which was a few simple sums and a little bit of English writing, etc. They said, okay. That was it. I don't know how long after, sometime later in 43, and not long after the Italian landings, I was told that along with others, I was being posted to a school which was being established behind the line in Italy called the Central Mediterranean Training Centre. I was to be posted there as the pay corporal in an office which was going to be established in a place called Benevento, which was about 25 miles behind the line. Eventually, along with 140 others from the IRTD, as it was known, the Infantry Reinforcement Training Depot at Geneva, we boarded a ship at Port Said called the SS Batory. It was a Polish vessel. And to put it bluntly, it stank. But once on board and meeting some of these other personnel who were going to join the staff of this school, a rather large gentleman of the Green Howards came to me, Sergeant of the Green Howards, name of Tim Kelly, we later became firm friends. He approached me, he said, ah, just the boy, ship's police corporal on this journey. So of course I became the ship's police corporal en route to, we were told, Taranto in Italy. I did that job, as I said earlier, the place stank and the food in general was atrocious. It was Polish type. The tea was stewed, everything about it smelled. But on the same ship, there were an Indian unit, and they lived separately. They were Sikhs, and they did their own cooking. And that was interesting, because I could go around on my police patrol duties on the ship early morning, get a cup of tea with them, which was hot and sweet. And also aboard the vessel were what they called maritime akak gunners. They were more or less artillery, but they called them maritime akak. They served aboard ships as akak gunners. And they had their own mess. So there I managed to get myself wheedled in for a nice cooked breakfast in their mess in the morning, doing my ship's patrols as I was. We landed in the Tour of Italy, at Taranto, in black ice. It was the coldest I've ever known in my life. Black ice. We landed there. The place, obviously, was in a hell of a mess. We were taken from the ship to a derelict housing estate. No one was there. These houses were empty. They were half ripped up. No windows, in some cases, no doors. We said, "This is where you'll stay the night." I forget how we did for food. I just can't remember now whether we had any. But we were stuffed into these derelict houses, so many of us at the time. And it turned out that I happened to be the senior corporal of the party. There were three sergeants, an officer, three sergeants, several corporals, of which I turned up to the senior, being a guards corporal, were stuffed into these houses. Really, really cold, as I say, black ice. And the one we were in had the Italians used a kind of galley stove, which you might know it, freestanding stove with a chimney going outside, and it burned anything, I suppose. So I know we finished up trying to get a fire going in the stove, which we eventually did succeed. And there were no doors on, but there were still door jambs and frameworks to doors. So we finished up kicking doors out and feeding 7 foot length of door jambs into the fire and keeping that going all night and huddled together all night. And there, managing to make a hot drink on the stove. The next morning, everybody were obviously frozen stiff, very cold, could hardly move the limbs. So I finished up taking, it was an estate and there was sort of roadway. I finished up kicking them all outside, about 120 personnel, and chasing them up and down that roadway, as a guardsman might do, to get the feeling back into the limbs, which I did. The sergeants weren't much use, these sergeants, and I chased that lot up for about an hour, up and down, to get the circulation through the bodies and get them warm. We then had to find how we would travel up to this more northern area in Italy. We eventually were given train at Taranto station. Open carriages. No windows, just wooden seats and no windows. And from there we travelled to Naples. Naples was an absolute mess. There were water geysers flying all over the place. There were gas escapes, mains. Everything was torn to pieces by the time what had preceded the army going through was flying fortresses or something, I heard later. But that sort of the remnants, the last links of the army had gone through there some maybe 2 or 3 weeks before. But it was just a mess. You could hardly see a citizen. What remained had all gone to ground under rubble or wherever, shelter. We eventually arrived at Naples, trotted out of the train, marching through Naples, given to understand there's a transit camp somewhere north of the area, which we had to make for. So we're marching through this city of Naples, the mess it was in, marching for long enough. Very hungry, very cold. We stopped, and the sergeants, the officers said they would go and see if they could find some transport somewhere, make contact with the American army and make some contact and see if we couldn't get some transport to take us as far as we needed to go to this place called Benevento, Madolfo. In actual fact, we got some transport, but we were not taken to immediately to Benevento. We were taken to a transit camp which had been established north of Naples. It was just a makeshift area, very hurriedly constructed, of tents on a hillside mainly, and there were outside cooking facilities, and we were given a pot of tea, albeit it was horrible. I remember it as being very horrible because the water had been totally chlorinated because of typhus in the area, and it was undrinkable. They then allocated tents for the night, and we were carrying ground sheets and one blanket, and we were in these tents which were on the hillside, settled down for the night, and it rained like the very devil. The water was running through the tents down the hillside where we were lying in it. It was an awful state. Morning came and we pulled ourselves together. I think they gave us something to eat, I can't remember what. Another mug of this terrible tea made with the chlorinated water. It was almost like drinking a mug of chlorination. We were then found some transport to take us on to Benevento, which in effect was about 30 miles north of Naples. Naples, bear in mind, was absolutely devastated. There were water spouts everywhere, there were gas leaks, everything was in total confusion. It had been really bombed by American bombers, by the big stuff, for quite some time. We eventually arrived at Benevento, rather a bedraggled group. I think there were 148 of us to initially staff this school. That was from the area we'd come from in Egypt. But there were to be more because it was a garrison area which was going to encompass about 4,000 bodies eventually, which took in the whole area around it. We were taken to one of the highest points in the town, which turned out to be a 13th century castle, which had been occupied by the fascists. It was headquarters for the fascists in the area. And as we started to look around this place, we found a lot of elements marking out the fascist. For instance, the chairs in the place were ornamented with the old bundle of sticks and the axe. And we found a room down in the, we'll call it the dungeon area of the castle because it was so old. We found a room which we can only describe as an initiation room into the fascist movement, because there was the Italian flag draped, and it was rather a sombre place. And we had to go into this place and establish a headquarters. We set about the job. There was office furniture in piled in different rooms, and we had to sort of set up our different offices to establish this as the headquarters of the Central Mediterranean Training Centre, which was to be. And we were given to understand there were going to be various schools set around the garrison in the town, for instance, a school of mechanics, a school of physical training, a school of chemical warfare, all manner of things, a tactical school for officers. And we set about the task. And for the next month or so, other people were arriving from different places to staff the school. It took us about 2 months to get it up and running before the first people came down from the line to take part in any course. You can realise the size of the place because a brigadier came, and he was at the head, a brigadier. He was the man totally in charge in the headquarters. I can remember his name now. He was Seaforth Highlanders, Brigadier Rawstone. And each of the schools, in turn, in most of the schools, had either a lieutenant colonel or a major as CO of these out schools. My role, when I first went there, was to be the school pay corporal, with a sergeant in charge, a pay officer who combined duties of pay officer and officer's records, anyone arriving from anywhere, and a further staff of a lance corporal and two privates. I met the sergeant who was given the job, or had been told he would be the pay sergeant of the garrison. He approached me and he asked me if I knew anything about pay duties and how to set this. I said, well, I have the basic knowledge. I said, I've done company pay where I was and the rest of it in Egypt. I said, I'm aware of the imprest account and what goes on. He said, well, I don't know anything about it. He said, so I'm not going to do the job to be told how to do a job by a corporal, you see. He said, that wouldn't be right. He said, you would have to show me. So he said, I'll see the powers that be. And we had a lieutenant colonel who was the man in charge of all admin and various officers in various departments, along with staff sergeants. There was a chief clerk, he was a warrant officer class one, he was a chief clerk over all the admin area, responsible to the colonel, of course, the chief clerk. And we were spaced out into our various departments, pay, records and movements, i.e. whatever was required in the headquarters, with the schools set around this garrison area, established in what had been a gymnasium or a school, a local school, and they were turned into these training areas with these schools. And as I say, over a couple of months, we got it up and running, and the lads started coming down, and officers up to the rank of lieutenant colonel used to come down from the line for this extra training. And the people who were instructors had already learned all about this more modern way of doing things, and which they were to impart to the lads coming out of the line. The line was about, at that time, probably 30 miles north of Benevento, where the winter line was established. And we got things moving. They set up police, garrison police. A friend of mine was the police sergeant. I used to get roped in sometimes on a night to do a police patrol, being an ex-guardsman. and looking the part. I used to be decked out and seconded to help them around the town doing a police patrol at night, issued with a Smith & Wesson, and out we used to go because most places were totally out of bounds. The place had been totally bombed, but funny enough, they'd missed the castle, and it was a high spot there. But most of the town of Benevento was heaps of rubble, absolute heaps of rubble. When we first arrived, we saw no residents. It took quite some time before we started to see locals. They seemed to appear out of holes in the ground. There were many, many bodies underneath rubble that had been bombed. We asked the locals some time after who did all this, and their words were Americano, bumba bumba bumba, Americano, the big V bombers or whatever they used in those days. And it'd been very constant because it really was a mess. And on the approach to the town with the old skull and crossbones, it was just full of typhoid, the area, because of the state of things. Not that I was involved so much, but there were people brought in, and prisoners of war were brought in, and Italian prisoners of war mainly, helping to clean the place up and get things into some sort of order. But as I say, within 2 months, 2 to 3 months, it was up and running. We established an old barracks, Italian barracks in the town, that was taken over. That had been bombed in part, but we used that. And so I carried on doing this job and holding the impost account for the garrison, and paying these out schools who had to indent on me for money once every 2 weeks. I used to do a trip into Naples with the this officer, this captain, who'd been allocated. Not that he did a lot of work. He used to sign his name for me whenever I asked him. That's all he seemed to do. I held the safe key and did the job. He was more interested in going out and riding a few horses. We got established there for senior ranks to do tactical exercises on, and he was more or less in charge, being ex-RHA captain. So he left the rest of the job to me. I did this for probably 6 months in that role, knowing there was an establishment for a full sergeant to be running the job. And I spoke to this captain of mine about this. I said, I think I should be, if I'm going to continue doing the job as I'm doing it, and successfully at the time, because I created certain saving schemes while I was there, and there were national war bonds, you know, available through the army, and we had our own printing section in the headquarters, and you know, we could do. It was really a first-class headquarters eventually when we got round to it, and you could get most things done that you wanted. I established a sort of competition between the different schools on savings, and they were vying with each other to see how much they could save. And things went along very smoothly. As I say, I mentioned the situation to the captain, and he thought, like me, that I'd done a very good job, and he saw the colonel, and a week or two after that, I remember being told I had to march in and see the colonel on colonel's orders, and whereby I would be promoted to full sergeant, doing the job I was doing. And this came about, which I was very pleased about at the time. And then I could join friends I'd made, sergeants, I could join them in the mess, which was established in this old Italian barracks. We had to do quite a bit of work in these places because they were in a total mess. By this time, the locals had started to come out of the holes in the ground, especially 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The old adage of mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun, that was quite true. Because if you walked down the one main street in Benevento, you saw no one after about lunchtime. And then maybe about 4 o'clock, they all appeared. But from where, you didn't realise, you didn't know. They just came out, suddenly appeared, and made for the local coffee bar, which had been opened probably by that time, which we found of great use, was to wander down in the morning about 10 o'clock and have a hot coffee in the winter. You could get rum and coffee down at one of the places. And they managed to open and get moving along with life again, and opened an ice cream parlour for the locals. And as I say, where they all lived, I just don't know, because there weren't enough houses. There was one school, had been a school nearby, and they turned it into accommodation for the locals. And in some cases, there were living 6 and 8 to a sort of cubicle, just screened off by Hessian in what had been maybe classrooms. It was deplorable, the conditions. All they had was probably a bed, and they used to cook with charcoal in a metal bowl, and places were full of smoke. Terrible conditions they were in. And things got better as we went along. I was there probably, I can't quite remember, maybe 18 months to 2 years, I think, all in all. That time, the army had moved on, and during that time, the 6th South African Division had established a hospital in Benevento. That was one of my duties. I used to have to draw the cash for them and take it up to the hospital, and do that every other week so that all the South African hospital staff could be paid. And we went along every day. People came down from the line, even a couple of sergeants of my own regiment came down who were friends of mine, had been pals years before, which I'm very glad to see. One of them were still friends to this day, who I see down in Sussex. And I just was walking across this barrack area one morning, and we just bumped into each other. Couldn't believe it that we'd seen each other. Whilst all this is going on, my battalion were up there at the front and been fighting through all this throughout Italy. I was very, very lucky, a very lucky person, and I thank my lucky stars more than once or twice. Whilst there, the Italians more or less surrendered, and I don't know whether it's fortunate or unfortunate, but there was a whole division came down from the north of Italians. I think it was known as the Cremona Division. And they came down into Benevento, armed to the teeth. They'd been told that they'd finished with the German army, and they were now going to be part of the Allies. The commanders had turned over and surrendered to the British, or the Americans, whoever. And they came in and around Benevento,